sexy, spooky bones.
And welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am Jennifer.
Okay, what are you doing, like a Ed Wood thing? What is it? Like,
yes, Edwin Mendoza Wood. I mean, no last names.
That's kind of no last names, please. Yeah.
Which we gotta get the homie on this podcast, I think, at some point.
Yeah, we should. Should reach out to him, see if he's free.
No, I'm sure he'll listen to this, right, Edwin? No.
Edwin M. Or, that's too obvious, E. Mendoza.
Edwin Mendoza it all night long, baby.
Oh, yeah, he does. And welcome to the show. This week, we are reviewing Somewhere Quiet. As always, Sean will give us the plot in five words, give her first thoughts, and then we get to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Quarter. We're watching episode 4 of Ju-on Origins.
Which I had previously watched 6 years ago. No, it was... In a fever, I watched too many episodes.
Yeah. Panicked. You weren't sure where to watch for the week. So is this the definitive origin of the cursed house? Because, man,
I don't think so.
What an episode. I think, for me, I've felt like it's been a little bit all over the place, but this one felt very self-contained, and it was absolutely brutal and disgusting. And I was not prepared for any of this. So I even text you like, oh my God, this episode's just awful. I'm eating food now. I have to put my food down.
Which is why, I don't know if anybody recalls, but last week I was like, nah, I mean, they explain it with this, right? Oh, I've seen too many episodes.
Yeah, I think you said like there's a baby and a phone, and I was like, I didn't.
That quite... family, dude. That's like... And I was like, no, the detective. He's a part of this. You remember? He said, I almost gave away something important. I think.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Now we find out that our investigative paranormal guy is involved. He's just been keeping it from everybody. This thing spared him, and he doesn't know why, so he's obsessed with it.
That's right. Because that's why he's trying to get back to the house. Yes. So the pregnant woman who's having an affair, I guess him and the husband finally decide to leave their spouses, I guess, is the indication there. And she goes back, you know, after meeting up with the guy, she goes back to TV Quarter and she basically tells her husband in like the cruelest, cold way possible. And the husband he's kind of like playing it very meek and like he knows about the affair from the previous episode. But then he just lays in and says that, oh, well, I'm going to kill you, all three of you, which I'm assuming he's saying the guy she was having an affair with, or the baby?
I think the baby. I think he was trying to say like, well, because he does like a weird thing because she keeps trying to force him to drink this wine.
That's right.
And he's like, oh, you know, no, it's okay. When, you know, I kill all three of us, we'll be together, blah, blah, blah. I think he was talking about his wife and the kid.
And when he decides, when he says that line, fucking the F hits the S major. Yeah. And basically he tries to kill her, but then he vomits.
Say the F hits the S. I was trying. Yes. I'm trying to figure that one out. The fuck hits the shit. Fan hits the shit.
The fat hits the shit. Yeah.
It is so it's not extreme. Appropriate.
Yeah. I can't say fan. So.
It's so because
there's a little bit of. Usually the shit in this hits the fan,
but this is where you're like, I don't know what is the shit, so you throw the fan at it.
That's how fucked this episode hit is. The shit. Yeah, yeah. The fan hit the shit.
That's how gross this show is.
That's how gross this episode is. That's how extreme this episode is. I felt like I was watching Three Extremes. Yeah.
And so, I kept thinking that she kept trying to force him to drink that wine because it was poisoned.
That seemed a little obvious. Yeah, that seemed a little obvious.
But she was also going to stab him anyway?
Well, he got up and started threatening her.
Yeah.
And but so
she already had tried? A knife, though. She was like, I feel like she was just going to try to kill him regardless.
That's right. That's right. And otherwise, he kind of
should have just been a phone call or something like, hey, I'm not coming back. Bye.
He defends himself. Should we go into just detail here? Like, what did he do? He, like, slit her throat.
Yeah.
Gruesomely. Mind you, she's pregnant, so that already fucked up, but it gets better. She begins to just puke out all of everything because, like you said, the wine was spiked. And then she hears the baby and cuts out the baby with the knife.
Cuts out the baby with the knife and then
goes
off screen, shoves a telephone in there, but you don't know that till later when you the phone rings.
We'll get there. Yeah. And goes to the adulterer's house, which is the cursed house, and finds that the woman is dead, the other spouse is dead, and the man hung himself with fecal left from his on the steps. I was just like, and he guess he shat himself after he hung himself. And
well, all this, I feel like we should mention, not only did this guy cut out the baby, but he took the baby with him.
Took the baby with him to the house. Yeah.
So there and, is a dead fetus with this man while he's looking at all this.
And decides to bury the baby in the yard.
Yeah.
Because he felt.
And then he goes back home and he's like, where did I leave that dang telephone? And then it rings. <'Cause> he is. He's like, oh, that's right. Safekeeping in my deceased wife's womb.
And yes. And he answers the phone. The ringing phone. So all that happened. That was a lot to process.
And then on top of that, you get a brief little, like, it's almost thrown away because of everything that happens. The investigative reporter that we've been following admits that this thing spared him and killed the rest of his family. So he's trying to, like, just get back to this house and figure out
why. Yeah.
The origins.
So that's what I mean.
To him. Yeah.
Oh, I get it. I think we've both already surmised that it's like there's multiple origins because of the S in the title, Juwan Origins. Yeah. So it's his origins to the house. It's probably the actual origins of the curse, which is what I thought it would actually be about, but that's only part of it. It's the origins of kind of just like a lot of different things. So what'd you think of this episode?
I mean, I liked it. It's so far, like I said, the show hasn't been bad, but I've been very confused. This one was so straightforward that I was like, nice change of pace. And also, it was very good. It's very graphic. So,
yeah.
You know, the action is nonstop, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm curious to see where this goes.
Yeah, I loved it, too. I thought I was really impressed with the scene and the episode. Like, when it was self-contained, we just focused on this one story, sort of the culmination of this one story. I mean, I think I always assumed that it would probably turn out awful for everybody involved, but the level of violence, it was not at all what I expected and really was effective. So kind of engaged more with the series and kind of want to see where it's, you know, going. See how it ends. We have two more episodes left. Yeah. And so now,
because I've seen them all by accident. I haven't seen these last two.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like, let me get this over with because I need to rewatch Blood Ride. So I did that.
That's what I'm saying, dude. The Japanese know how to do it. Oh man, this is good. So I'm pretty excited about continuing now that the. Oh, we didn't mention that the guy goes to jail, admits his crime, right? He admits his crime, goes to jail, yeah. And sees, and I'm assuming some sort of, sees the baby again, like in his mind, I guess. He's like having a nightmare, hallucination. Yeah,
the whole baby thing turns into like a, I think you had mentioned this last week, it's very Lord Voldemort at the end of...
Yes.
It's just like, yeah, walking around. No, you had mentioned that for
but the movie. Previous,
the movie, yeah, but this one legitimately looked like a little like...
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
It was to describe it, was kind of like that scene in Trainspotting with the dead, with the baby on the ceiling crawling.
Exactly.
But I looked gooier and gross and bloody. So, a really like wow episode. I think it was really impressed. I was really impressed with it. Probably the best episode of the series so far has made the solidified the show in the sense that like it's a worth a watch at least for this stuff. So hopefully they ratchet it up for fix 5 and 6, you know, and then ends on a some sort of positive, you know, reassuring note, but we'll see.
So I want to make sure it's the same director because I feel like that's what made it.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even talked. I don't even know who's directing any of these. So,
might be the same guy for everything. Yeah, it's the same guy for everything.
Okay. It does feel
so Miyake. Yeah.
It definitely feels like one. Like there's a consistency to every episode, you know what I mean? Like it feels like it was kind of done as like a TV movie, like a 3-hour TV movies, which I don't even think they have anymore. So I don't know if anybody understands the references.
Yeah, some guy named Takashi Mikey. I'm just kidding. That blow your mind? Like what?
Whoa!
This isn't nearly as graphic enough. No,
yeah, I'm so disappointed. Boo! okay. I don't know what else to say. We good?
Yeah, I think so. We can move on to A Quiet Place, right?
A Quiet Place.
Oh no! Yes. You saw the wrong movie.
Yes. Yeah. Let's move over to our main review of Somewhere Quiet. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. Yes. For John Krasinski's A Quiet Place. No, for Olivia West Lloyd's Somewhere Quiet. Coming in at number 3, Escape. Kidnappee goes into isolation.
Okay.
Coming in at number 2, Meg has to get out.
Shut up, Meg.
Just get out.
Get out. And
coming in at number 1, Marin Ireland, it's always you.
Dude. Marin Ireland, people don't know, is a favorite here.
Yeah.
The podcast. But yeah.
Yeah, clearly a very probably, I mean, it everybody did well, but she was the best part of this movie.
I enjoyed Jennifer Kim. I thought she was excellent.
No, she's just great.
Yeah.
But, like Marin Ireland is just like, yep, there she is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. How did you find Somewhere Quiet, John?
I mean, I suppose it's been a while since we've done a movie that dealt with trauma. Now, as we wrap up our trilogy of trauma movies, by accident, this was okay. There is something a little too predictable about it. It wasn't bad. I wasn't super stoked about the way it wrapped up.
Yeah.
Because again, definitely, it was just a little too obvious. And then, yeah, I feel like there was no real conflict. I mean, there literally was no real conflict, as we find out later.
Okay.
But an interesting, you know, interpretation of what, you know, PTSD of some sort of situation like that is.
Trauma, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with, like, because she is what?
Asian.
Kidnappy.
She is Asian.
Yeah, she's Asian.
Sorry, I was trying to...
She's a kidnappee that escaped from her kidnappers.
Right.
So her, you know, obviously she's not going to have a true level of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's hallucinating like 90% of this movie and starts to assume everybody around her is a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is some sort of logic behind her distrust, but yeah, I don't know. Like, she clearly needed professional help.
So are you having a mixed feelings about it?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So,
a little bit? Okay.
Again, I didn't think it was bad. It was just...
Yeah, yeah. I really loved this movie. I thought it was excellent.
Nice, okay.
I felt that the way, like you said, that she has this trauma because she had just been kidnapped and she just got returned... You know, she's kind of just adjusting back into, you know, her life and stuff like that. And I found it to be a very... There's so much of the movie is from her perspective. And so there's always this really well-directed dread and fear. And because of her state, so much of the movie is from her perspective, but like because of her state, she could, like, she's untrustworthy as the lead because she's kind of going through these different cycles and motions of like things she's seeing, things she's not seeing, misinterpreting things. You know, she's just so heightened because of her previous experience and stuff like that. And I think they did a really good job of capturing those moments. So there was like this, I feel really well balanced, like dread, and like there's like a mystery because her and her husband go out to his family's cabin for like winter break or holiday or something like that. And she's kind of going out there. She has to confront a lot of the things that she was running from, literally running from. So she has to deal with the fact that with her husband, and there is also a cousin played by Maureen Ireland as well, and kind of deal with those things. So I felt very panicked, and like I really enjoyed Jennifer Kim's performance because she was so like, I truly believe that she like was somebody who was always in this sort of heightened trauma panic state.
Yeah.
I immediately like sided with her, but they did also a good job of there's so many other little things going on that's a little just off. Everything's just off about this movie, you know?
Yeah. I was gonna say, I think Maren Ireland did a really good job of playing the unintentional Caucasian asshole.
Yes.
Like, she doesn't mean any ill intent. It's just the way it comes off. Like, you know, some white people don't understand they're being offensive
when they're trying to relate. They're trying to, quote unquote, relate. Yeah. And in this movie, if I had to describe it, it kind of gives, like you said, like Get Out vibes, right? Yeah. It's kind of has that because she's you know, Asian. That's kind of played into the movie, kind of played into the script because she's surrounded by white people. And like, I love the little things like the picture frames, and like they have a history of colonizing. Their family has a history of like going and teaching and colonizing indigenous people, Asian people, and stuff like that. So nice touches all around. And yeah, I just really like that. There was just so much like thriller panic, and I wanted to kind of get to the mystery of like what really happened. And I thought there would be, without spoiling anything, I thought that like for sure there was something supernatural going on, but I think the resolution makes sense. And I had to like think about the ending because it's very, very ambiguous, which is, I think it's kind of left, I can see how it would leave people cold, but I think that, and we can get into spoilers, when we get into spoilers, I'll kind of dig more into it. But yeah, I mean, I really thought I was pleasantly surprised because I thought this movie did a really good job of really setting you in this character's like mind and like how she would perceive her reality.
From that, yeah, from her perspective, her acting was phenomenal. It was great. Mm-hmm. I will just say that I kind of called what the ending was going to be halfway through the movie. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I can see where this is happening, where this is going.
Yeah. There's such really, like we had mentioned, like really fine performances, of course, by, you know, Mary Ireland, Jennifer Kim. I loved the husband too, Ken Tucker Oddly. I thought he was excellent too. And written and directed by Olivia West Lloyd. I think this is like her first feature, and in my opinion, a very promising first feature. And very mature first feature, I believe. Yes.
I kept thinking that the dude at the the husband, like in the first like chapter, was Michael Angarano. He's the kid from like Sky High and
Was he like the helper or whatever, the helper guy with the property?
No, I thought the husband was that guy because he kind of looked like him. I couldn't get it out of my head that wasn't him, even though I knew it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Anyway, missed opportunity to cast this guy who doesn't seem to age.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have a very big cast.
Right.
There is what I'm assuming, I guess that's a spoiler, but there is a mother character who keeps popping up in the woods.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is directly connected to the previous movie we reviewed. I was kidding. Show the same mom.
Had Relic vibes, right? Yeah. Is that the... Yeah. I could see that. I think that where I felt like the movie, or I can see an area where the movie I felt like had some issues, was probably they build so much of what's the mystery of this movie, what's the mystery, and I think that is going to probably weigh in how you feel about it once it's revealed what happens.
Yeah.
And if it's not like, if you're not satisfied with it, I think it's gonna really dictate how you feel about the movie. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not in on the, like, if you don't buy the twist, in my opinion, then like, I feel like you're gonna be like, well, the rest of the movie sucked, kind of deal. Well, you know?
Yeah, maybe, because I think you're right, but it's also, like I said, I was already able to call what was gonna happen at the end, and I wanted to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wasn't wrong, it made a lot of the movie feel like,
yeah,
you know, like, oh, this, okay, what's real, what isn't.
And I don't think with what they laid out, unless I didn't understand something, I think not everything makes sense.
That's where it turns into like, okay, they literally could have done whatever, because what's real and what isn't.
Yes.
And I know, and that that's a, like a nitpicky thing, but I kind of at this point appreciate when movies have like a clear like, oh, whoa, not like, right. I don't know, because it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Yeah, like I feel like they decided to set up all of these mysteries, let's call it that. Let's want to set up all these mysteries, and then instead of trying to pay it off, I felt like instead, okay, well, no, let's just focus on the human side of it. the human side of, let's have a very human character ending, which I think is probably going to leave people dissatisfied, I think, because of the resolution and because of the fact that they just decided, no, this is more of a personal thing for the character. It belongs to the character, not really like, and to me, that's a small cop-out when you try to build like a mystery thriller and you try to sell it on that. But
because you also got to think about people, that a lot of people watch movies to not think, you know? And if they watch a movie like this, they'd be like, what the fuck?
And I think it's an interesting choice. I think that it's a brave choice, I think, because they could have easily, like, because of the nature of the story, like, just led in to what this kind of story is. But I felt like there was something else she wanted to talk about. Because it's designed like a horror movie. Like, I actually really like the cinematography, too. It's beautiful locations and well shot, you know. Everything felt real and lived in and everything. But I feel like that the performances actually were really nice too. But I think Olivia, instead of making a conventional mystery thriller horror movie, she decided to kind of focus in on certain character things, like the trauma and what would be the resolution to those things, you know?
Yeah, and there is some, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but there is some like mid movie twists that were kind of corny to me, like the Whitmans, the family that she married into. Oh, they're ultra rich. They're ultra rich. That's like anybody can really talk. Where, you know, like she meets one guy, and this guy's like, oh yeah, you know, they're rich, you shouldn't be on their property, it's private property. And she's like, oh, that's my husband. And he's like, oh, I feel so stupid, I'm sorry, blah blah blah, they're so rich. And then there's this constant conversation about it before they have like a weird dinner. And, you know, again, it's like one of those things, like, I think they, Olivia did a good job of cleverly disguising well-off Caucasian people trying to relate because they always say the wrong thing. I've personally been in situations like that.
And wait, John, you're not Caucasian? No.
Spoilers. No, I was gonna,
damn, sorry, spoiler warning.
When we did our big 4-year reveal of our faces. There's like a dinner thing, and then Marin Ireland is like, no, we don't talk about money at the dinner table. And then that's where Meg is just like, oh, why? Because it's rude. I mean, it doesn't matter. That's just something privileged people say. You know, only privileged people always say like, oh, don't be rude about money because they're rich. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Ireland is like, well, that's kind of easy for you to say, isn't it? Like, since your settlement with like her parents dying or something, or the kidnapping or something with the police station, she's like way more rich than her husband and her husband's cousin combined. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. So now they're going to spin this like maybe they kidnapped her, right? To get the money. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she was already rich before she got kidnapped.
Right, right, right.
But it really made it seem like they wanted to get the money from her husband and his family. You see where it gets all like, oh, they're trying to spin it like that, but we already know that they're trying to blackmail the husband and his family, not her. Otherwise, they would have just taken her money.
Yes, the kidnappers that we don't see in this movie, and that we don't even see much of it, right? Like,
not at all. Like, at all. At all. You get like a video, but you don't see the video. It's just her reacting to the video
that she was forced to make.
Her husband never saw. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty pretty weighty, heavy drama during all that as well. So, which is not very conventional for what you consider like a horror thriller. So,
no, that's true, yeah.
Cool. Do you want to get into spoilers?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
Okay, Meg killed the dog. No, just kidding. So she's the bad person. No, I'm joking. Meg.
Yeah, yeah, like I think we should probably talk about the big ending is that Meg is, let's see,
her PTSD has caused her to start to hallucinate.
Yes. And she suspect has been, yeah. She's very distrustful of everybody. Her so she kind of has
is like insane, yeah.
She almost has like, without explicitly saying, like a split personality, would you say, yes, described as? Because they have that beautiful shot where it's like reflected and how she's feeling, because they're like they're supposed to be like Marin Island and the husband were supposed to be cousins, but she's imagining them like too close. Like they're like hands all over each other. They're always laughing. He always wants to go with her. And, you know, there's even a scene towards the end where they're like naked or something, which I don't even know if that happened or didn't happen, but probably not.
Where, I don't think so. I think that's, she started sleepwalking. She assumed her husband was sleepwalking because there's a lot of weird scenes where he's trying to like talk or like, you know, communicate with her, but he's just mumbling. And then he like keeps walking into a wall.
Right. It almost, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, and then there's like things where she breaks things and then they just get cleaned up and disappear the next day. And she thinks like, oh, they're trying to cover it up. They're trying to cover it up. But I think she was doing all that shit while she was sleepwalking. So they didn't want to make her feel bad. So they were just hiding all that stuff from her because they thought that would be what was best. Mm-hmm. But I think they're aware that she was also cognizant of what was going on.
No, yeah. She clearly hadn't recovered, which I thought was interesting because like naturally when anybody experiences this sort of trauma, they're gonna have like reactions like that, like I'm not gonna wanna be trustworthy, I'm not gonna, you know, it just exacerbates everything, her senses and her feelings and stuff like that. So I thought that was really, really well portrayed. Yeah. You know, I thought that was really nicely done visually and performance wise. And
I was going to say, she has this thing, like, her distrust is not only, like, she assumed that her husband and the cousin were the people that kidnapped her, but what really upset her at one point was it only took her husband a month to get over it in her head.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting because the husband, I guess, didn't agree to certain demands. Mostly because he had like ran away to this cabin, right? And because he didn't know what to do, he panicked. And he was just like, oh, I killed my wife. I killed my wife. He felt so bad about it. So she was like, it only took you a month. And he's like,
wow. Yeah. So he couldn't, to kind of, so this is the big thing, the big secret of the whole thing. There really was nothing truly supernatural going on. We're really just seeing the whole movie from this character's sort of, broken mind trauma, that the husband was up in the cabin, which is sort of secluded or whatever, the family cabin, and he was up there while she was kidnapped. He did see the first video, but then assumed that she had died because he didn't pay the ransom. So, and but then there was a second video a month later, and I think that she either escaped or recovered or something, and he got cleared of it. So it's also implied that he was sleeping with the cousin. Is that the thing? I don't think I was very clear. No, to me, it wasn't clear.
That's why I think I was mentioning earlier, this movie did this thing towards the end where it's almost safe to assume like 90% of what you saw through her eyes was not real. Because right. There's a moment where, okay, so I'm going to just skip ahead real quick. She bludgeons Ireland in the head because Ireland is looking for her dog. And at this point, even, I'm just going to call her by her character name, which is just Whitman. Okay. So Whitman is like, that's just her last name, but I think that's all they call her. Cousin Whitman, right?
Madeline. Madeline? Or, is that right?
Oh, yeah, Madeline. So Madeline... already has a distrust of this woman also. Like, they have a mutual distrust of each other. Because they keep getting in arguments. And I think she assumed, like, did you do something to my fucking dog, you know? Because there's other moments where she's like, oh, yeah, my grandmother couldn't have been in the woods, or my mother couldn't have been in the woods because she's been bedridden for months or whatever.
Right.
And I don't even think that was real. I think she's imagining these things, that these conversations, because it's always when she's alone with her.
She keeps seeing an older woman in the woods in the house, like flashes, and like she glances and there's like older woman in the thing, which didn't really add up to anything. That was maybe one thing that was disappointing, is it didn't really add up to much. That,
because she sees this woman in the woods at the very beginning of their journey to the cabin, randomly in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, so clearly this person's not real. So that's your first indication that she is having a mental instability with her visual perception.
Right.
And when she tries to cover up that she accidentally killed the dog, which that was all led by, she went to go get drunk with that guy she met. And that guy was like, you're way too drunk to be driving a motorcycle. I'll give you a ride home, even though he was drunk too. And of course, that triggered her thinking, like, you're not going to fucking kidnap me. And she tried to, like, rush away and accidentally ran over the dog.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think she tried to leave because the car broke down. And then she tried to drive away and then ran over. Because I think she repaired a bike or something. Like a bike that was left in the garage or whatever.
So she hits the dog and kills the dog by accident. And when Madeline is like, you're going to help me look for my dog. For some reason, Meg leads her straight to the dog and says, like, it was an accident. I'm so sorry. And of course, like,
who brings a shotgun to look for a dog, by the way? It's the one thing I was like,
like. Well, that's where I think that's just her distrust of Meg. But also, they needed to do Chekhov's gun, too. Like, it was like a weird. Like, they needed to find a reason to kill one more character off at the end, is what it felt like.
So, just so you know, if I ever lose Annie, I'm going to get you. I'm going to bring my shotgun and flashlight. So we can go look for my cat, John. And you're going to walk in front of me the whole time, just in case. Annie.
I'll be like, Rolanda, it was an accident. And it's just back in my apartment, and there's another litter box, and Annie's in there like, oh, shit. But yeah, you know, Madeline turns around and, of course, like, angrily is about to point the shotgun at her. No telling if she's gonna shoot her or not. I don't
rightfully
think she was.
So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think she was just pissed, right?
Yeah.
And of course, Meg bludgeons her in the head, and she has this quote unquote conversation with a tied up Meg back at the house.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, Madeline is basically saying a bunch of really like oh, this and that, mean things. Like, do you kind of recall the conversation?
Yeah. Explicitly, no. Oh, just that basically, like, they should have killed you. You're going to kill yourself. Basically, kind of reassuring her worst fears about what she thought was going on about their relationship. Supposed relationship between the cousins and what was going on. Why was she brought out there? She was just like imagining basically that all her worst fears. She was basically tied up. Madeline was telling her basically all her worst fears, that you're going to kill yourself. We're going to take your money, you know, and everybody's going to believe it, and we're going to finish the job. So kind of sets up like predictably, but the twist is that like, it quickly cuts to her being knocked out. Like, she, like,
yeah, she was
safe to assume that she
never
imagined
that,
whole conversation. Yeah.
Because her husband comes in and looks at his cousin, and she is not aware. She might be dead.
Aware at all.
I think she's dead. Like, as that conversation was going on, I was like, oh, okay. So she's been imagining most of this movie, which I kind of thought was happening.
Yeah.
But then it became clear that a lot of the conversations she was having were imagined.
Yes. Yeah. It's becoming more and more clear that her mental state is like unstable. Like, we can't trust her, that what she's seeing anymore. And Scott basically kind of confesses, like, he's had the, like, this kind of like weird guilt, and we thought it was maybe because he didn't want to be in this relationship, was trying to get the money from her. There's like some ulterior motive to being with her, but we realized that he kind of just feels guilty mostly because he didn't do enough to get her back.
Yeah, gave up too soon. And he just felt really bad about that whole thing. And then on top of that, like, everything that she's been doing, you got to assume, like, he wasn't fit to help her the way she needed to be helped.
Yes, yeah.
But he felt so responsible, and then he snapped because he couldn't take it anymore and tried to kill her? I think so.
Yeah. I mean, because at the end we have we hear sirens. Excuse me. We hear like cops and stuff approaching. I'm assuming they're dead bodies. Like you said, it could be the cousin. It could be both. It could be him. Only him. You know, we don't know. It's left very, very ambiguous at the end.
I think she killed everybody at that point that was there.
Right.
I mean, or at least her husband and his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sirens that you see, there's a truck going to the house, and the sirens that we hear are actually showing up to her original home. So I think this is where she's finally getting the help she needs, but unfortunately at a bad time, so she's probably going to be like... She escaped being kidnapped, went through this trauma, and now she's probably going to be in a cell or a padded cell for the rest of her life.
And I also want to note that they could be chasing her because she just stole that car, technically.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So, yeah, there could be a couple... It's very, very, like, ambiguous because the movie opens with her...
Stealing
the car, driving away, and then that's where the end picks up, and then she drives away, and... she drives and like she's like screaming and like trying to drive away, and she stops and gets out of the car and then looks back and the movie ends. And I really like that moment because I thought it really symbolized the character finally ready to stop running. It's a character moment. It's really for her, not really for which is always like a brave choice from a writing or directing, because you want to have your movies are done to like, we had to have that clear resolution, you know, we got to have everything needs to be tied up nicely for everything. But I love that this ended on a character moment because she finally is, the way I interpreted it was that she's finally stopped running and now she's turning around and facing her problems,
which
in a real way.
She has just added on to like 1,000
times. Exactly. Yeah. And I feel
and
like
then
she's
like one character that pops out, breaks a window, and looks at her, and he has like two pupils in each eye, and he goes, "Do you read Sutter Kane?" So she wasn't imagining everything. And Sam Neill, another fan favorite in The Mouth of Madness.
Yeah. It just lingers on her looking back, and then it ends. And at first, I was like, I had to think about that ending because I was like, at first I was like, that was super unsatisfying at first. But then I kind of thought about it. I tried to process like, okay, well, what's really going on here? What is it that they're trying to convey in this scene? And that's kind of where I came to the conclusion that she's finally done running and she's going to try and finally face whatever her traumas and stuff. And I think that's a nice, brave character moment, you know, that we don't always get in movies, especially horror movies, you know? So...
I think I hate that I keep comparing movies, but if I hadn't had seen Relic, which I think that, you know,
yeah,
them facing that issue and that problem at the end, I thought was like really heartfelt and like big.
Mm-hmm.
I would find this one a little more endearing, but
I would say. Spoilers for Relic if you guys haven't seen it, but like, which you should be watching the movies as we review them. so you should be caught up. Yeah, I kind of feel like this one was a smaller, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, this was a smaller moment and Relic ended on a sad, happy ending. or truth about the
an honest
about
ending, yeah.
an honest truth ending. Very symbolic, both very symbolic, but the relic kind of felt like, because of that, you know, we passed down, the tragedy of life is that we pass down our mental illnesses, our problems,
and a lot of our acceptance of that, yeah.
Acceptance of that to our the next generation and stuff like that. So,
and this and I feel like, in what, like, it is the beginning of acceptance, but you don't get that moment.
Even that, yeah, it's much smaller, much, much smaller, more interpretive, ambiguous on purpose. So, unless he's just ran out of film and that's where it got to, just like, let's wrap it up, guys, we're done.
Maybe, yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean,
after an hour and 40 minutes, they're like, we don't have any more money.
We do not have a 47th minute. It's good, it's good in here, guys. But yeah. Do you have any other thoughts? Before you rate it?
I appreciate the creative nature of the film.
Yeah, I this resonated because of these. I felt like the movie was really trying to say something. It's something personal that's kind of designed to be like this horror thriller. But inside of this movie, I felt like the story itself was something very personal and trying to say something, you know, meaningful to them, that's important to them, but it, in disguise of like this other genres and stuff. So definitely did appreciate it. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna get somewhere quiet. Six sexy spooky bones.
Cool. I am gonna give it 8 sexy spooky bones. Really enjoyed it, and I'm really disappointed because like it has the IMDb has a 4.9. So,
which I gotta tell you, earlier today it was like a 5-point something. So it's dropping slowly.
Thanks, John. I know you're. Let's see.
So you can see my true reviews, and it's just me over and over again.
Bone Man 69, is that you?
Uh-oh.
Delete. Alrighty. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.